Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Health officials strengthen endorsement of RSV shots for oldest Americans. New York. U.S. health officials on Wednesday made a stronger endorsement for RSV vaccinations for people 75 and older, but offered a narrower recommendation for people 60 to 74. The director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention accepted the recommendations from a committee of outside advisors, making it the government's updated guidance to doctors. A year ago, the same advisory group said that people 60 and older should simply talk to their doctors about whether to get the shots. Physicians have said that kind of lukewarm recommendation is confusing to patients, challenging to explain, and a likely reason that fewer than 25% of older Americans have gotten a shot. RSV, or respiratory syncytial virus, is a common cause of cold-like symptoms, but it can be dangerous for infants and the elderly. Last year, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration licensed single-dose RSV vaccines made by two companies, GSK and Pfizer, for older people. At the same time, the vaccine advisors refrained from saying all older Americans should get the shots because of questions about possible side effects and the duration of protection. Some of those questions still exist, and panel members on Wednesday declined a request by vaccine manufacturers to more forcefully recommend the shots for all Americans 60 and older. Instead, they voted that people 75 and older should get the shots and that those 60 to 74 should do so only if they are higher risk for severe disease. The panel also declined to endorse giving the GSK vaccine to people in their 50s, even though the FDA this month licensed the company's shot for that age group. A newly approved RSV shot from Moderna will be subject to the same guidance. Panel members said data has demonstrated that the shots make sense for all people 75 and older because they are at higher risk for severe RSV cases. For people who are 60 and older, the conditions that put them at higher risk of severe illness include chronic heart disease, advanced stage kidney disease, chronic lung illnesses, and severe obesity. About 39% of people in that age group would qualify under the strictest interpretation of that guidelines, CDC officials said. The committee also recommended the vaccine for 60 to 74-year-olds who live in nursing homes or are deemed by their doctors to be frail for other reasons. Underlying the panel's hesitancy are reports of a nervous system disorder, Guillain-Barré syndrome. Though rare, there have been a higher-than-expected number of Guillain-Barré cases among RSV vaccine recipients, particularly in those who got the Pfizer shot. FDA officials on Wednesday said there is no clear evidence that the shots are causing the disorder, but some panel members noted research is ongoing. Award. Wynetta Chicken Riazno wins MMHB Award. Midland Health proudly announces that Wynetta Chicken Riazno from the Ortho Neuro Department has been awarded the prestigious B Award. This newly instituted award celebrates the dedication and outstanding care provided by non-licensed nursing staff, integral members of the healthcare team who significantly contribute to the healing process of patients. The B Award criteria focus on those who consistently provide empathetic, caring interactions and exceptional patient care, maintain a positive work environment, and embody the mission, vision, and values of Midland Health. This award aims to publicly honor those who exemplify the institution's core values through their daily work. Quote, we are thrilled to launch the B Award to shine a spotlight on the remarkable contributions of our non-licensed nursing staff, end quote, said Dr. Jessica Tully, director of the Medical Surgical Division. Quote, their unwavering care and compassion are at the heart of our mission to foster a healing community, end quote. Riazno's recognition as the first distinguished winner of the B Award is a testament to her extraordinary dedication and compassionate care. Her story is an inspiration, resonating with the essence of unwavering commitment that Midland Health seeks to cultivate within the community, quote, "Juanetta is so deserving of this award," end quote, said Jimmy Cochran, nurse manager of the ortho-neuro department. Quote, "Her exceptional care for patients and positive attitude make her a vital part of our team," end quote. Aileen Guerrero, coordinator of education at the Center for Advancing Professional Excellence, added, quote, "Juanetta goes above and beyond for her patients daily. She has been instrumental in ensuring that all PSAs are trained uniformly and has been an invaluable asset in our PCA bootcamp. Her dedication to patient care and education is truly commendable," end quote. Guerrero nominated Riazno for the B Award last month. Midland Health invites the community, healthcare professionals, and media outlets to celebrate the incredible contributions of caregivers like Riazno. Midland Health is committed to honoring those who make a difference in the lives of patients and the healthcare community. By recognizing individuals like Riazno, Midland Health continues to uphold its mission of fostering a compassionate and healing environment for all.
Cooling Shelter opens at Odessa Salvation Army. Cooling shelters in Odessa and Midland are now open for those who need relief from this July heat, with highs forecast in the low 100s this week. On Tuesday, the shelters opened thanks to a team up between TXU Energy and the Salvation Army of Odessa and the Salvation Army of Midland. The cooling stations offer bottled water, electrolyte packs, and a safe place to stay cool when temperatures reach triple digits. The stations will be available through at least Labor Day. Cooling stations are sponsored with an $8,000 donation from TXU Energy signature Beat the Heat program. For more than 25 years, TXU Energy has helped thousands of Texans stay safe in dangerous summer heat. In addition to this year's donation, TXU Energy also presented the Salvation Army with two $60,000 checks for $120,000 to provide energy aid bill payment assistance to West Texas families. A check presentation was held Tuesday at the Salvation Army of Odessa, 810 East 11th Street. Since 1983, TXU Energy Aid has provided more than $130 million in bill payment assistance through donations from employees, customers, and the company. Community members interested in supporting TXU Energy can make a one-time or monthly donation at TXUEnergyAid.com. This day in history. Today is Wednesday, July the 3rd, and on this date in 1863, the pivotal three-day Civil War Battle of Gettysburg in Pennsylvania ended in a major victory for the North as Confederate troops failed to breach Union positions during an assault known as Pickett's Charge. Also on this date in 1775, General George Washington took command of the Continental Army at Cambridge, Massachusetts. In 1944, during World War II, Soviet forces recaptured Minsk from the Germans. In 1950, the first carrier strikes of the Korean War took place as the USS Valley Forge and the HMS Triumph sent fighter planes against North Korean targets. In 1971, singer Jim Morrison of The Doors died in Paris at age 27. In 1979, Dan White, convicted of voluntary manslaughter in the shooting deaths of San Francisco Mayor George Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk, was sentenced to 7 years and 8 months in prison. In 1986, President Ronald Reagan presided over a gala ceremony in New York Harbor that saw the relighting of the renovated Statue of Liberty. In 1988, the USS Vincennes shot down an Iran air jetliner over the Persian Gulf, killing all 290 people aboard. Enrolling in Medicare, the correct way for federal employees. By Tony King. Hello, Tony. I'm turning 65 and not planning to retire until I'm 70. I am a federal employee working full-time as an agent for the IRS. I'm receiving conflicting information that is confusing me. Friends who read your Tony Says Medicare articles are advising me to enroll in Medicare Parts A and B when I retire to keep from receiving the famous Part B penalty. Co-workers that work with the government say that I am protected because I am a government employee and do not have to enroll in Medicare at all. Please explain the rules regarding enrolling in Medicare when you are a federal employee. I look forward to what you have to say. Thank you. Sheldon from Tampa, Florida. Tony replies, Hi, Sheldon. Your friends are correct. You should enroll in Medicare Parts A and B when you retire. The rules regarding when and how to enroll in Medicare for America are the same Medicare enrollment rules for federal employees. This change for federal employees having to enroll in both Medicare Parts A and B happened a few years ago. Federal employees' health benefits, FEHB, must pay first when an active employee has a health need. Once a federal employee has retired, which is known as an annuitant, and is enrolled in Medicare Parts A and B with a FEHB retiree plan, then Medicare is primary coverage and the FEHB is secondary coverage. Employees with FEHB coverage and who continue working for federal service past age 65 do not have to enroll in Medicare Part B when they turn 65. As long as they continue to work in federal service, their FEHB program coverage will be their primary coverage for medical services. These individuals will have a special enrollment period, SEP, when they retire or when their spouse retires if the spouse provides the FEHB coverage to enroll in Part B without paying a penalty. Let's discuss Medicare's three enrollment periods for federal employees who have FEHB benefits. 1. Initial enrollment period, IEP. If a federal employee retires before age 65 and keeps his or her FEHB health insurance for retirement, then the retired employee can enroll in Medicare during their initial enrollment period. Medicare's IEP is the 7-month window, which begins 3 months before turning 65. The month one turns 65, and 3 months after one turns 65. 2. Special Enrollment Period, SEP. When a federal employee or spouse who is past 65 delayed enrolling in Medicare Part B due to continued service with FEHB benefits, there is an 8-month window for signing up for Part B without receiving a Part B penalty. The retiree will need to file CMS-L564, Request for Employment Information, completed by the Human Resource Office, and CMS.40B, Application for Part B, by taking both forms to a retiree's local Social Security office to enroll in Medicare properly. 3. General Enrollment Period, GEP. January 1 to March 31 every year is the only period when a federal or non-federal retiree's spouse who retired past 65 and never enrolled in Medicare Part B can now enroll. The retiree or spouse who is over 65 will receive a Medicare Part B penalty for not enrolling in Part B at the proper time. These three enrollment periods are the same for Americans who do not have the benefits that federal employees have. It will always be to the federal retirees' advantage to keep the FEHB plan due to the excellent coverage it provides. And the FEHB plan is considered credible Medicare Part D coverage. So retirees who want to enroll in Part D at a later date can do so without receiving a Part D penalty. Call the Tony Says Medicare hotline at 832-519-8664 or email info@tonysays.com with Medicare help. Tony's Medicare Survival Guide Advanced Edition is available at tonysays.com. Tony's Medicare Moments articles have just been released at familytalktoday.com/Medicare-Moments. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a female who is 68 years old and in generally good health. In September 2021, after a couple episodes of faintness when tilting my head back, I was given a CT angiogram with contrast. The diagnosis was fibromyalgia muscular dysplasia. The report noted a beaded appearance of the artery with no dissection or hemodynamically significant stenosis. At the time, I was told to take aspirin daily and not to look up. It seems to be getting worse as I cannot tilt my head back for more than a few seconds before noticing an effect, i.e. when drinking, especially from a bottle or looking for something in an upper shelf. Are the beads going to continue to grow, resulting in more problems and me having to constantly look down? Is a stroke inevitable from the lack of blood flow at some point in the future? When I do have a more significant episode, I haven't completely passed out yet, is there anything I can do to help restore equilibrium? Maybe a boost of oxygen? Are there things that may make it worse, like lifting heavy boxes or vibrations from a sonic toothbrush? Dr. Roach answers, fibromuscular dysplasia, FMD, is a disease of blood vessels caused by excess fibrosis of the blood vessel itself. It is not atherosclerosis. Cholesterol is not found in the artery, and it is not an inflammatory disease. It isn't known why people get it. The good news is most experts find that this condition does not worsen over time. Most people like you with FMD in the carotid arteries did not progress with follow-up repeat imaging studies. A stroke is not likely and certainly not inevitable. Ultrasounds are preferred over CT scans to look for progression because an ultrasound does not have ionizing radiation. Careful monitoring of blood pressure and kidney function is wise. If you do have another episode, keeping the neck in a neutral position is important. Oxygen isn't helpful. I don't think lifting or brushing your teeth is likely to cause your symptoms. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. You can write to him at P.O. Box 536475, Orlando, Florida 32853-6475. Obituaries. William Bill R. Esmond. Funeral services for William Bill Esmond, age 89, of Flint, Texas, will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, July the 6th at Stewart Family Funeral Home. Curry Stennett, age 67, passed away Monday, June the 17th at Cedar Park Regional Medical Center. Melba Joyce Tarver passed away on June the 28th. A graveside service will be held at Sunset Memorial Gardens on Saturday, July the 6th at 2 p.m. Leonard Louise Long, age 91, passed away on June the 5th in Fort Worth, Texas. Marcia Bennett, age 66, of San Angelo, died Thursday, June the 27th in San Angelo. Graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. July the 3rd at Longhaven Memorial Gardens. Glenna Calendar, age 80, of Odessa, died Monday, July the 1st in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. July the 6th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Troy A. Ridley, age 89, of Odessa, died Thursday, June the 27th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. July 3rd at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Odessa. Dear Abby, my son Ethan is a visually impaired adult with disabilities. He's articulate, down-to-earth, and joyful to be around. He's a homeowner in a nice area of town. A woman we met through the Nextdoor app bought an expensive winter coat from us very cheap. She and her husband know Ethan is in Special Olympics and awaiting a guide dog. She raised chickens, and when Ethan mentioned the new egg hatcher we bought for him, she asked if she could borrow it. I told her she could after our one chick was grown enough. I have asked repeatedly for her to return it. She said she would and even asked for our address. I provided her with the information. She has since moved, but she's still in town. When I asked her more recently to please return it, she posted Ethan's photo from the Nextdoor app with a quote, "dangerous and unstable person." What can I do to defend him? Legally, I think something needs to be done for his reputation now. signed Perplexed Mom in Colorado. Dear Abby responds, Dear Mom, there is enough discrimination towards people with disabilities without this awful woman contributing to it. Consult an attorney to discuss her behavior and find out how to defend your son from her uncalled-for attack. To label your son as dangerous and unstable is a slander intended to damage his reputation. And another Dear Abby, I have been in a long-distance relationship for 11 years. I love Roger. He's a hard-working, decent person. He says he loves me, too. We got engaged 3 years ago and set a date for this year. Well, Roger has called it off, but he still wants to be together. He put our wedding on hold after we had a fight. He told me he can't marry me if I act like that. Abby, he's exaggerating the fight. He's my best friend, and he's always there for me if I need him. He lives 2 hours away. After I had a flood, he came to help. He couldn't even see too well. He got shingles 2 days before my flood. Regardless of how sick he was, he drove all that way to help me. Roger has his own construction company. He has remodeled my kitchen and bathroom and done many other things for me. This is the second time he has postponed our wedding. I can't imagine life without him. Should I stay with him? Should we break up? I'd really hate to start dating again. Do you think he will marry me? Dear Abby answers, You stated that Roger lives 2 hours away. Have you driven those 2 hours to be with him? If you haven't, it may be time you did because he may have another romantic relationship going on closer to home that would be complicated to get out of. From your description, he seems like a caring person, but there has to be a reason why he refuses to make a commitment. Until you get some honest answers from him, a marriage isn't likely to happen. If he is unattached, some premarital counseling may help to calm his fears. And you can write to Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Midland Times. Midland Chamber congratulates Permian Basin track star Hopple for making second straight Olympics team. By Midland Times, July 3, 2024. The Midland Chamber offered its congratulations to Midlander Bryce Hopple, who earned a spot on the U.S. Olympic team in this year's Summer Olympics in Paris. Hopple attended and ran for Midland High School at the University of Kansas. According to the Midland Reporter-Telegram, the former Bulldog track and field star excelled in the 800 meters during the U.S. Olympic team trials at Hayward Field in Eugene, Oregon on June 30th. Hopple clocked in a personal record of 1 minute 42.77 seconds to head to his second straight Olympiad, the publication reported. In a July 1st Facebook post, the Midland Chamber praised Hopple for his dedication, hard work, and relentless spirit, saying he has made the Tall City proud. Permian Basin NBC affiliate KWES News reported that Hopple's mark on Sunday bested a U.S. Olympic trials record that was set back in 1992. According to Hopple's biography on the Team USA website, the 6-foot, 26-year-old placed 16th in the men's 800-meter in the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo. He has a bronze medal captured in the 2022 World Championships. The Paris Games are slated to begin on July 26th and run through August 11th. Midland Athletic Syndicate announces new executive director. By Midland Athletic Syndicate, July 2nd, 2024. The Midland Athletic Syndicate, MAS, Board of Directors, has unanimously selected Travassi Jackson as the final candidate for executive director of the area's newest indoor athletic nonprofit. Jackson is a native of Midland and former head men's basketball coach for Burleson Independent School District. From initial building construction to local relationship building, it was important for us to start with a strong foundation and rock-solid leadership, said MAS Board President Austin Campbell. He said Jackson brings over 16 years of athletic management and team building experience to the new position. We are confident that we have the right people in the right positions to mold our organization into one of the region's premier youth sports facilities, Campbell said. John Scarber, the MAS Board of Directors Vice President and founding member, emphasized the importance of selecting an executive director who aligns with the organization's values. It was important to our board to find someone who can pour our kids' lives the way, who can pour into our kids' lives the way we know Midland youth deserve, he said. MES hosted a launch party on May 20th where architects showcased updated renderings of the over 100,000 square foot. MES hosted a launch party on May 20th where architects showcased updated renderings of the over 100,000 square foot Diamondback Energy Athletic Complex. The complex will house the Permian Resources Arena featuring six basketball courts that can be converted into 12 volleyball courts. Areas of the facility will be sponsored by Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Oxy, and Pioneer Natural Resources. We are grateful to all the funders who rallied behind this project and believed in the vision, Campbell said, from energy companies to philanthropic institutions such as the Scarborough FMH, Ebelhanger, and Beale Foundations, to local businesses and city leadership. We could not make this vision a reality without our community's generous support, he said. MES said it will host an event this summer to introduce Jackson as the new executive director. We are confident in his abilities and look forward to the next generation of modeled excellence under Travassi's leadership, Scarborough said. MAS says it will promote youth athletics, teamwork, and sportsmanship. For more information, visit www.midlandas.org. Three MISD schools named to Educational Results Partnership Honor Roll for High Star Achievement by Midland Times, July 2, 2024. Three Midland Independent School District, MISD campuses, have been named to the Educational Results Partnership, ERP, Honor Roll for their academic performance. The honor, in its ninth year, is given to 12% of schools throughout the state, accounting for 835 designations. According to an MISD news release, the Honor Roll recognition is linked to student outcomes on the State of Texas Assessments of Academic Readiness, STAR, from 2019 through 2023. The STAR campus recognition was given to Early College High School at Midland College, ECHS, while the Young Women's Leadership Academy, YWLA, and Carver Center garnered scholar campus status. We are honored to receive this recognition, said ECHS Principal Blanca Golson. This designation represents not only the success of our students, but also the dedication of our teachers and staff. The Campaign for Business and Education Excellence and the Texas Business Leadership Council back the ERP Honor Roll, according to the news release. The recognition is based only on objective student achievement data and is given to schools that provide students with the necessary skills to excel after their public education is over. This recognition is evidence of the hard work our teachers and students put in every single day, said Carver Center Executive Director Stephanie Carnett. I could not be more proud of the work we have done to prepare our students for what's ahead, added YWLA Principal Laura Dowdy. Supreme Court defers on state online content moderation laws by Michael Macagnone. CQ Roll Call. Washington. The Supreme Court sent back to lower courts Monday two challenges to Florida and Texas laws regulating social media platforms, deciding that judges had to better define the stakes of free speech issues in the disputes. The opinion covering both cases kept alive the lawsuits over the state laws that seek to regulate Meta, Alphabet, X, and other social media companies within state borders. The ruling essentially prolongs challenges that could shake up how social media companies operate and define how lawmakers could regulate social media companies. Texas and Florida enacted the laws as part of a conservative backlash to perceived censorship of conservative views by major social media platforms, and they included requirements that those sites have a detailed explanation and appeals process when users are blocked. Justice Alina Kagan, writing for the court's majority, said the lower courts had to do more work to lay out the legal issues in the cases for the Supreme Court to weigh in. Kagan wrote that no one paid much attention to exactly what the laws covered and whether all the laws' applications were constitutional or not. The online world is variegated and complex, encompassing an ever-growing number of apps, services, functionalities, and methods for communication and connection. Each might or might not have to change because of provisions as to either content moderation or individualized explanation in Florida's or Texas's law, Kagan wrote. The decision sends the cases back to the U.S. courts for the appeal 5th and 11th Circuit, and it means the Supreme Court will still likely revisit the issue in the future. The two cases stem from laws in Texas and Florida that would restrict how the largest social media sites and other online platforms moderate their content and require them to explain to another holder whenever they do remove or alter a post. The states have argued that the laws would prevent online platforms from discriminating against anyone online based on their viewpoints and ensure transparency in the content moderation process for social media platforms that carry much of public discourse nationwide. More discussion. Separate from the basic outcome, Kagan wrote for a 6-justice majority criticizing the Fifth Circuit decision that upheld the Texas law and stating that social media content moderation is free speech protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution. Deciding on the third-party speech that will be included in or excluded from a compilation and then organizing and presenting the included items is expressive activity of its own, Kagan wrote. Justice Amy Coney Barrett wrote separately, largely agreeing with the majority, but also raising concerns that technology, including algorithm-based content moderation and artificial intelligence, may affect the constitutionality of internet regulation. Justice Samuel A. Alito, Jr., joined the Justices Clarence Thomas and Neil M. Gorsuch, criticized the court's majority broad ambition that shot down the Fifth Circuit's approach to the social media laws and raised concerns about the power of social media companies. Social media platforms are diverse, and each may be unique in potentially significant ways, Alito said, writing that the court should not have made such broad statements about the free speech protections of content moderation. Alito wrote that the justices should give serious treatment to the idea that social media platforms are common carriers that could be regulated like phone companies and forced to carry all messages that meet general terms. The laws have some differences which came up during oral arguments, such as how the Florida law includes up to $100,000 in damages for violations, but the Texas law does not.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.